living in Brisbane, do you use them regularly? If you're driving, they can be a handy way to avoid a jam, can't they? But the tolls certainly add up.
Mm-hmm.
It was only a decade ago that we spent $10 billion on the three tunnels, Clem 7, Airport Link and Legacy Way. But Brisbane is already too big for us to benefit from that infrastructure.
Associate Professor Matt Berg is from Griffith University's City Research Institute. Matt, you say we could have done things differently, but hindsight is a wonderful thing too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not just hindsight. There were a fair few people around at the time, particularly Clem 7 was being built, suggesting that things didn't seem to stack up in terms of the kind of numbers that were being thrown around. But, look, the article in the Brisbane Times today is a little misleading. I didn't say there was no congestion benefit of the tunnels. There certainly has been, but it hasn't had the long-term effect that we had really hoped for. And we underinvested in the public transport network, which we're now reckoning with at this point in time.
The forecast vehicle numbers have not been achieved. The reality is as well down on what was forecast. So you say there has been a benefit, not necessarily massive. Has that benefit been worth $10 billion?
Well, this is the thing. If you've only got 20,000 people in one tunnel, 30,000 in another, and certainly Airport Link's done better. They're up at 50, but it's nowhere near the 100,000 that was predicted. And there was, there was a fundamental flaw. The stated public policy purpose of the Transapex scheme, these tunnels collectively, was to reduce congestion on the surface. And yet we kept the surface roads free and put a very large toll, 2.5 times what was initially promised, on the underground routes where we wanted the traffic to go. So the pricing signals were completely at odds with what we really wanted to have happen, which was, to create true bypass routes that we really encourage people to use. We're still stuck with that silly pricing signal on the wrong routes, and it's really difficult to unlock that.
Mm. But every time we talk about traffic, we always get back to the same debate. Public transport, it needs to get better. I feel like we've been having this debate for 10 years.
And it's because we haven't invested. We've been talking about versions of the rail network in the inner city, three different iterations of the project. We've been talking about that for a decade, and only now are we moving forward with construction.
Well, that $10 billion that was spent on tunnels and the like, what could it have bought for public transport in Brisbane, in your mind, Matt Burke?
Oh, well, we can look around. The Gold Coast Light Rail Stage 1 only cost $1 billion. The original South East Busway only cost $1 billion. There's a lot of projects out there that you can kind of point to that could have added up. But Cross River Rail is expensive, and we've needed it for quite some time. There's no additional train paths we can really add in the peak hour from the south side lines, including the Gold Coast. And we just can't offer the frequencies that other cities of our size with similar rail networks offer their customers.
And Matt, we were talking about a congestion tax yesterday off the back of a new report out from the Grattan Institute that said all major Australian cities, not just the likes of Sydney and Melbourne, but including Brisbane in this, should introduce a CBD congestion tax. It was immediately ruled out by the State Transport Minister, Mark Bailey. Is there any validity to a congestion tax in your mind?
There's almost no serious transport analyst or transport economist who doesn't think that some sort of dynamic congestion charging would be an obvious solution to the congestion problems we have. And by dynamic, I mean in the peak hour you pay, and off-peak on a weekend, we're not going to slug you to drive into the centre of Brisbane when, at 10 o'clock at night, when who cares? It will certainly work. It's going to be a long process to get to that. I think we might see little parts of the city start to introduce something like a congestion tax at particular times, that if you want to enter this particular little precinct that's particularly jammed, you might be asked to pay it sometime in the future. But we're all going to be moving to a different way of paying for transport. And I think... I think within 10 years there'll be big moves afoot to totally change how we pay for driving, and congestion will become a part of that new system at that point in time. And that's all about electric vehicles and the fact that no one will pay fuel tax anymore.
But also communities are changing. I think people might stay out of the city. Our suburbs become little hubs themselves. No, you don't like that idea.
No. What we're seeing in the travel behaviour data is quite different, unfortunately. That's the idea. That's what urban planners would really like to have happen. And so I hear you. That's really what we'd like, because that would localise travel. But you just have to look at what's happening with school travel. We've got some data. We're really close to putting out a big media release on some data on school travel, and it's really got bad. And that's partly because of private schooling and the very sharp increase in private schooling numbers and the horrendous driver behaviour involved with that particular category. We're not seeing what... You know, the big fad in the 90s and early 2000s was a thing called transit-oriented development. We were going to have lots and lots of these all over Brisbane and on the Gold Coast, the Sunshine Coast, and these were going to encourage people to live along the railway lines and the busway lines and really, you know, make public transport a dominant feature of their travel. And, you know, there's a Yorongpilly TOD, the transit-oriented development there, and it's still a big hole in the ground. There's one council building there and then a giant paddock before you get to the tennis centre. And it's just emblematic of how little of this kind of development has actually gone on in Brisbane. And people have not localised their travel too much, unfortunately. The best thing that's happened is suburban cafes. We now have an awful lot of people walking, doing little trips to local cafes. That's been fantastic. But aside from that, a growing proportion of people at state schools, just state primary schools, now take their kid to a different state school based on NAP plan results and other things. It's troublesome.
Well, it sounds like we'll be talking about school travel in the coming weeks, if that's the case, Matt Burke, as well. Yeah. Enjoy your little jaunt to your local cafe this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers.
Associate Professor Matt Burke from Griffith University's City Research Institute.